and we have a minute left, and that's why we need the Lord. This is why we need the God of glory. And what does the Lord do? God's like, man, in the middle of a, you know, drought, he will send thunder and rain because our God is unstoppable. Our God is a God of glory. Our God is infinite in wisdom and power. Loved ones, we gotta pray to the God of power that we might receive strength, that we might finish strong. How's your prayer life?
Hey, listeners, you are joining us today for our last message in our Conviction Amidst Compromise series on the life of Samuel. So far, we have covered conviction, compromise, and the faithfulness of our God through it all. And in all these messages, we know that Samuel loved God even though he messed up, and he messed up a lot. Does that sound familiar? We want to know how the story ends. Does Samuel choose to honor God throughout his life, or does he give up and he cave to the culture around him? Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and today we're looking at four essentials to finishing strong. Here's our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Samuel recalls the judges sent by God in their sinfulness to rescue the people to return to him. This comes to verses 12 and 13, which really become the hinge of the chapter. Look at verse 12. Samuel says to them, "And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us.'" Notice, "when the Lord your God was your king. And now behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you." So it's almost like Samuel is saying here, it's almost like Samuel's saying, listen, you wanted a king, here's your king, you've asked for it, you got it. But then in verse 14, there's a change. In verse 14, again, we hear the grace of God through the voice of Samuel. And what Samuel does here is he provides the path of success to the people of God. Again, look at verse 14 now. He says, "But if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you," listen, "will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and also against your king." So Samuel, once again, this has happened so much again through the Old Testament. Samuel once again instructs the people, here's the path to be blessed, and here's also the path to be cursed. The choice is yours. But here's the principle of finishing strong that I want us to see. And again, I love this so much. Notice this within the life of Samuel. Samuel's message never changed his entire life. Think about that. Samuel's message never changed his entire life in one way or another, from a very small boy to now being gray and old, as the text says. He is standing before the people. His message remains: serve the Lord, fear the Lord, love the Lord. I just love and admire so much. Samuel, listen. Samuel never tired of God's truth. Samuel never tired of God's love presented in his truth. Right till the very end, Samuel never tired of loving God and obedience to the Lord. And isn't that truth right there shining a light on one of the great crises of our day? So many so tempted to change the message. So many people, so many families, so many ministries, so many pastors, so many denominations, so many forms of leaders are tempted to change the message, to water down the message, to tweaking or trivializing or brutalizing the gospel that they might be accepted by those around them. But as you change the gospel and you tweak the message, You shut out the power of God and of course the favor of God and the light of God upon your life and any kind of thing you're trying to do. I think back to seminary. I think back to when I was in seminary and I've heard the stats and all stuff too. And I think of people that I was with in seminary that would stand beside me at that time with the message in some form that we are proclaiming today, rock solid in the gospel. Some of those individuals that I knew personally well, if you saw them today, the only word that I can describe for them, they have left, absolutely left the orthodoxy of the faith. And in some cases, there's no other word but apostate. The message changed. They changed. And they are not inside the integrity of the gospel and the word of God. And everything has changed again then from their ministries. It's heartbreaking. If we're going to finish strong, our message of God's word and the gospel must be unswerving. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about this in Galatians chapter 1. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, look at how clear scripture is. Let him be accursed. If anyone comes up with a different gospel, let him be accursed. Anything contrary to what's in the word of God, anything different, any new way, any new kind of tweak, any new angle. We've got it figured out, people say now. Let them be accursed. Verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man? See, this is what it comes down to. Why do so many people change? Because they want to be liked. That's what it comes down to. They want the favor of the culture. See, Paul went right into this. He's like, listen, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Which is it? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. You can't do both. It's either God or culture, or the culture or God. It can't be both. Our message cannot change. And this is why finishing strong necessitates an unswerving message. God only moves within the integrity of his gospel. If you lose the gospel, let's face it, then you lose God. And if you lose God, good luck. You will not finish strong. And think of Templeton and Bron Clifford, which we opened up with in our sermon. And church, let me just be so clear and honest. Holding to this message, the truthfulness, the integrity of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ with this exclusivity, with its hard truths that are sometimes hard to hear, that directly combat and contradict our culture. This message has never been more tested in this nation. And that's why the church is being sifted. And that's why many are falling away, which is exactly what Jesus predicted would happen. Exactly. But that's why I pray the church is becoming more refined and pure. Because those who are resolved and those who are going to faithfully follow Christ, whatever cost may come, you're gonna have the real deal. You're gonna have people who are filled with a passion and a hunger and a love and a compassion and a grace, but an integrity towards the word. And they understand again, as Peter said, I say all the time again, Jesus, to whom else will we go? You hold the words of eternal life. But listen, many are folding, many are quitting, many are drifting, many are denying, many are watering. And I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you right now, in love and grace and in compassion and the strength of the Holy Spirit, it's time for us not to wander or drift. It's time for us to double down on what we know is true. It's time for us to dig deeper into God's word, to pray harder, to love greater, to have the Spirit of God fill us. It is time to do this if we're going to finish strong again, because the voices are loud and the opposition is great and the courage is essential and the message is unchanging. So therefore, we cannot change either. I've been reading personally through Psalm 119 in my devotionals again, in my reading plan in recent days. Man, how many times the psalmist is saying, basically, if I leave your word, I'm dead. Like, Lord, I love your commands. Without them, I have no life. I would be a total train wreck I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I'd be a total train wreck without your word. Just over and over and over. And just such a wonderful encouragement, including this morning, reading again Psalm 118, the later verses. And there he is just saying the exact same things that we're hearing today. But the time of temptation is upon us. 2 Timothy 4, Paul again speaks into this perfectly, as he knew exactly what would be happening as the Holy Spirit did through him. He says, I charge you in the presence of God. This is one of the greatest charges in the New Testament. You can't find a greater charge than this. I charge you in the presence of God, of Christ Jesus, who's just living in the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That is such a massive statement, verse one there. And what follows this is preach the word. Preach the word. The greatest charge we can receive, again, as church leaders, as people, men and women who love Jesus Christ, hold to the word, preach the word, be discipled in the word. Let us just be ready in season. Be ready in season. When I was a kid, I think on some level this was in season. It was more than it is today. People just didn't argue. All these issues that are today, they didn't exist. Be ready in season and out of season. Look at. Be ready. So we're promised. Sometimes, man, there's gonna be favor. Sometimes there's gonna be a lack of that from those outside. But be ready. Be ready in season, out of season. We're out of season right now, church. Have you noticed? Out of season. Are you ready? Are you ready? So we were warned. But it's exciting too. It's exciting. Look at reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. If we're gonna finish strong, our message cannot change. If we're gonna finish strong, we have to hold to the truths of the gospel and what the Lord has given to us again in his son, Jesus Christ. Finishing strong, a walk of integrity, an unswerving message. Essential number three, if I'm gonna finish strong, I will pray for power and purity. I will pray for power and purity. Look at verse 16 now. This is so great. Now, therefore, this is Samuel, right? He just talked about blessing and curses. Now, verse 16, now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes today. He says, verse 17, is it not wheat harvest today? Explain that in a second. I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Okay, I love this so much. Now notice in verse 17, it was wheat harvest. Why is that a big deal? That occurred in May and June. It scarcely ever rained during wheat harvest. Scarcely ever rained. So what happens? Samuel literally prays up a storm. Literally. He calls upon his God. And God sends a miracle of thunder and rain. Look at what's happening here, church. Look at what Samuel's showing the people. They can have a king, okay? They can have a king, but a king on his own is useless. But the people who rely on Almighty God, he's showing them they belong to a God of thunder and glory. See what's happening right here? He's like, man, you've tried it your way. You're trying to do life your way. Look at what my God can do as you depend on him, rely on him, pray to him, love him, have faith in him. He's the God of thunder and the God of rain. He's the God of glory and the God of power. On our own, we can do nothing. I remember many years ago, Alistair Begg, such a great preacher, Alistair Begg told a story. He was at a football game and one team was losing, let's say 60-0, okay? So the team that was losing 60-0, it was late in the game, and their cheerleaders were there. And the cheerleaders for the losing team, they had this cheer that was saying something like, you can do it, you can do it, beat the team, we will win, you can do it. And Alistair Begg was telling us, he's watching these losing cheerleaders, 60-0, and he wanted to stand up and say, no, you can't do it. You can't, you have no chance. You will lose 100%. There's no way you can ever do it. Stop cheering that you can do it. That's like us, on our own. We're losing 1-0. There's like a minute left in the fourth quarter and somehow we think, I can do it, I can do it. And no, you can't, you can't do it. You cannot do it. We realize our whole lives are really like 1-0 and we have 1 minute left, and that's why we need the Lord. This is why we need the God of glory. And what does the Lord do? God's like, man, in the middle of a drought, he will send thunder and rain because our God is unstoppable. Our God is a God of glory. Our God is infinite in wisdom and power. Loved ones, we gotta pray to the God of power that we might receive strength, that we might finish strong. How's your prayer life? If you're not praying, you are telling God, thanks God, but I'm good. A prayerful life is a life that says, God help, I can't do it. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Church, the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, man, we are dead. We are dead. Father, we need your power. Jesus Christ, we need again to see your glory. Holy Spirit, we need your strength. We know it. I pray we know it. Please, oh God, fill your church. Do what we cannot. We are weak and frail and sinful and inadequate and insufficient. We need you, oh God. Hear from your children today, Father. Again, you are listening right now. We need you. We need your presence. We need your help. We need your power in us. We need you, Father. We need you. We need you to do. Only you can change lives. We can't. We can't argue people into the faith. You must, by your Holy Spirit, cause people to be born again. We must pray for your power to be seen through our lives. Church, if we're gonna finish strong, we have to increasingly be men, women, and children of prayer that pray for the power of God. We will not make it apart from that. How can I say this any more passionately or clearly? We must be a church that prays. Like, we have to step it up together to encourage one another, to pray for the power. And see what Samuel's doing? He stands for the people. He's like, it's just so great. You head your way, my turn. I'm gonna call on God. And then boom, like literally booms of thunder. And everyone stands up and is like, whoa. Fearing the Lord and revering Samuel because Samuel is relying on the Lord. It's an awesome scene. Our only hope for finishing strong is the power of God. Remember, Jesus taught us in John 15, branches by themselves die. A branch attached to the power of the vine powerfully bears fruit. We have no chance unless we are attached to the power of the vine. This is where our theology must inform our reality, which must produce our dependency. You may or may not know this. I have a personal prayer team of 30 people strong or 30 couple strong that will pray for me on a weekly basis. Almost every week, I will send an email to ask my prayer team built over the extent of our ministry, 20 plus years, whatever it is, and they'll pray for me almost on a weekly basis. Why do I do that? Because I can't do it. Why do I do that? Because I can't do it. Because I believe that God responds to prayer. And so I gladly, and some of you on my prayer team are in this room right now, I can't tell how much I love you and are thankful for you and how much I'm just so blessed by that. Because again, my theology says I can't. And therefore I need brothers and sisters to pray and help. And especially in the times of the hardest. Like I'm so blessed by Pastor George's update today and just seeing some of the highlights that we went through. But as I see those, I just contrast that with the periods of the last year that I remember of such darkness and difficulty and trial and loneliness and opposition and despair and frustration and the temptation to give in. I remember those moments and I see God's faithfulness and it breaks me. His goodness, his kindness, his generosity, his faithfulness, his steadfast love. It makes me all the more aware how much we need him. Even when I don't see it, he's working. There's more here. Notice in verse 19, and all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. We have added to all our sins this evil to ask ourselves for a king. See that? So they come to their senses. They realize they were sinful in asking for a king in their terms. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You've done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 21, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Now, if we're gonna finish strong, see what Samuel's doing? He's like, man, you gotta pray for power. You gotta pray for purity. What does that mean, pray for purity? You gotta trash your idols. That's what he's saying. Get rid of all the idols. Get rid of the sin that is an obstacle from you following the Lord with all your heart. Trash the idols. Verse 21 is awesome. Verse 21, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, Why? For they are empty. I think we should all print off verse 21 and stick it everywhere. Like, I think every day, multiple times a day, we need 1 Samuel 12, verse 21, pasted everywhere. In fact, let's do a little bit of an example of this. Let's paste verse 21 on several things that we would be tempted to do. So many of us, we love our stuff. Some of us, we love our cars. We have to, if we're gonna finish strong, we gotta take verse 21 and paste it again upon the car. Let's try that again. Let's paste it upon the car. Make sure the sermon's activated in the back and paste it upon the car. Oh, we need this to work right now. Oh, it's there. Okay, great. My bad. That's awesome. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, George. I appreciate that. I wonder if we'll work on this TV for next. I want to be able to go, bam. Hey, here we go. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. That's so good. Look at this, eh? Paste it. Do not turn aside the things that cannot profit. Your car cannot profit. I'm telling you, some of you, you got to take this verse and put it on your steering wheel to remind yourself, it will not deliver you. It is empty at the end of the day. We have to be reminded of such things. Here's our next picture here. Go to the next picture. How about our cash? For a lot of us, verse 21, bam, is it going to work? There we go. Yeah, man, slap verse 20 on top of your money. Do it. It can't deliver you. It is empty. It will not fulfill you. Remind yourself of this every day as you're tempted to give your life to such things that will not last and will not satisfy. Next one. How about this? Dream vacations. For some of us, we are living for and we think we'll be delivered by dream vacations. Bam, here it comes, pasted on verse 21. Okay, that's so helpful. The vacation might be helpful. It'll never deliver you. In the end, it's empty. Next one, what do we have next? Oh yes, stock market economy. So many of us, let's stamp it on. There it is, verse 21. Just paste it on, remind yourself, this craziness will never deliver you. It cannot do that. Next one, what do we got next? Social media, my pleasure, let's go. Yes, awesome. It will never ever be able to profit or deliver. Hey, just listen. Remember, it cannot do it. In fact, it often bankrupts and erodes our very souls in the time that we waste and the things that we are looking at. We've got a couple more I can't remember. Here it is. Oh yes, video games, or let's say games and your hobbies. Let's paste it on, man. Hey, young people, old people, whoever it is, put verse 21 on your controllers. That is awesome. Put it right there and stick it on. Parents, you wanna trick your kids? Go for it. That's awesome too, okay? Kids, you wanna trick your parents? Put it on their controllers, whatever it might be. Next one. Do we have another one? Okay, beauty, the obsession with self. And for some of us, we literally have to put verse 21 on our foreheads as we look in the mirror, right? Paste it on. Beauty will never deliver us again from the things that we want. This is Samuel Stan. He says, hey church, if you wanna finish strong, you have to turn aside from things that are empty. They will never profit. They cannot deliver you. Notice he says twice at the end of verse 21, for they are empty. And who's that for right now? It's for everyone. But for some of you, that's like a laser beam of the Holy Spirit speaking right to your soul. Like the Holy Spirit's just like, okay, like we've had this conversation for a while now. What's it gonna take for you to start believing and living and acting that these things will never deliver you? They cannot profit. And at the end of the day, they are empty. If we're gonna finish strong, I will pray for power and purity. Fourthly and finally, if I'm gonna finish strong, I'm resolved to serve him faithfully. Look at verse 23 now. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Look at verse 23. Notice Samuel's plan for the people. Why? It's prayer and the word. That is awesome. Acts 6:4, right there. His plan is prayer and the word. I will not cease to pray for you. I will instruct you in the good and right way, which of course is the word of God. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. So verse 24, ready, by the way, this is the guaranteed path of success in life. It's right there in verse 24. The guaranteed paths of success for life. Serve the Lord, serve him faithfully, fear the Lord with all your heart. Let me ask you, what's your goal in life? Right now, if you were asked, what is your goal in life? What are your top goals in life? What would they be? What do you think about the most? What are you desiring the most? What are your top goals in life? I'm telling you, if you take Samuel's advice right here, if all you do at the end of your life is fear the Lord, serve him faithfully with all your heart, you have just lived the most successful life you can ever imagine. So you have to believe that. I have to believe that. If the end of our lives, if all we have done is fear the Lord, serve him faithfully with our whole hearts, we have lived the most successful life we can imagine. I imagine all the people that will be dragging their stuff, their money, and their self to the gates of eternity, dragging it with them to the gates of eternity and hoping somehow this is gonna add up to something. And the Lord will look at them in judgment and be like, what are you doing? What is that? You think your stuff is gonna pass through? Think your money is worth anything here? You think the obsession with self and your self-identity is gonna pass through for forgiveness of sins? It's like, have you not read my word, how clear I was? That does nothing. And then the poorest, the most simple, the lowliest, the most disregarded individual who approaches the gates of eternity, who fear the Lord, serve them faithfully with all their heart, Jesus Christ will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy eternal. And that's what life is all gonna boil down to, church. Question is, do we believe it? At the end of the day, the most successful life you and I can ever live, fear the Lord, serve him faithfully with our whole hearts. And then Jesus will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus Christ is the starting point for this entire message in its application. Do you know Jesus today? Jesus died for your sins. Jesus bore the wrath of God for you and me. Jesus rose from the dead to defeat death. Jesus today offers you everlasting life. You say, what do I have to do? Nothing except believe. Believe he is the Son of God. Believe you are a sinner. Believe he is the Savior. Believe he rose from the dead, defeating death. Put your faith in him to access the grace of his gift that you may never die again. If the Lord is working in your heart, do not hesitate a second more. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And he says and promises, then you believe in me, you will never die. You will never die. And you have everlasting life. We want to finish strong, church. We want to finish strong. Just by way of recap, four essentials: integrity, unchanging message, praying for power, praying for purity, and resolved to serve him faithfully. God help us. Amen, church. Please, Lord, God help us now. Let's pray. Father, I pray for integrity to flow through this church so powerfully. God, I pray for the message to remain unchanging. Oh God, may it be so. God, I pray for power and purity to fill our lives by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray we will serve you faithfully with the days that we have. Lord, this life is so short. Help this church, this time, men, women, children, to honor you, to love you increasingly, and to bear fruit for you. May it be so. May it be so. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give, or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.